The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
You're listening to the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
With the 2025 NHL entry draft on the horizon Friday afternoon, San Jose Sharks general manager Mike Greer spoke with the media on Tuesday morning in preparation for this draft, as well as talking on some other topics as they pertain to the San Jose Sharks offseason.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, John Warrell with the AP. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I guess just to kick things off, what's it like to be knowing that you're adding a top caliber player for the second year in a row at the top of the draft, even though it's not number one?
Yeah, no, it's exciting time for the franchise and our group here. Scouts have done a lot of work, and you know, it's been some tough seasons for our fans as well to kind of get through, but you know, I think we're starting to turn the corner, and you know, we were fortunate enough to get Mac last year, and then the year before that, you know, at Smitty as well. So so we're excited, and you know, we're looking forward to adding another, you know, another good player to our group.
Is, you know, I mean, I was Matthew Darche this morning, you know, had a lot of really nice things to say about Matthew Schaefer. But stopping short of saying he's going to pick him. Is that your belief going into this thing, or how do you approach being sitting number two?
Oh, I mean, we're just excited. We're going to get a good player. I haven't talked to Darche about that pick or what he's going to do with it. You know, he's got to make that decision, and, you know, we're just in a good spot where we're going to get a good player no matter whoever they take. You know, whoever's left for us, we'll be excited to get.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Max.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? In years past, we've seen you in the draft kind of go after, I don't want to say specific players, but like we've seen a model, you know, the Zach Ostapchuk, the Philip Bystedt. What goes into creating that model of a player that you want to pick, not only just at two, right? There's some debate, but as you get down to the draft, what sticks out of those qualities that makes you want to say, hey, I like him as a San Jose Sharks prospect?
Well, our scouts do a great job. They work hard all year putting their list together and getting, you know, the front office group as much info as they can. And, you know, for us, we kind of have an outline of players we like. You know, we kind of call it the identity of a Shark, and things that we believe in make players have success in the National Hockey League. And, you know, we realize at the same time this is a draft and these are 17, 18-year-old kids, that not all these kids are going to play. But, you know, we're looking for kids who are competitive, smart, hard to play against, obviously skill. You know, the skilled players stick out. You know, when you look at, you know, Luca Cagnani, he might maybe not fit what, you know, a lot of people see, or some of the other defensemen we've drafted as size-wise, but, you know, the talent and the IQ are super high. And so, you know, we're just looking for good hockey players, but, you know, if they're smart and competitive, I think that kind of, those are kind of things that we kind of gravitate towards.
When you look at last year, this year, we know Mac was the pick and he was the guy you told us if somebody called the trade, you hung up within 30 seconds. At two, right, there's been so many rumors going around this year, not as obvious. What has maybe been the most difficult thing in creating what you've told us the past, you know, doing the best opportunity to improve the Sharks, whether that's looking into trades? What has been something that you've really kind of looked at in terms of if there has been phone calls for number two, or if you've been interested in number one? What's been the biggest thing that you've heard or wanted to accomplish in those situations?
Well, I think it's just being thorough and thinking through and talking through everything, you know, not getting too excited if you know, a proposal gets made or a player's names gets made. You know, just trying to be thorough and think through it and talk with the group and see if it's best for us, you know, short term and long term, really, especially You know, when you're picking high up in the draft, you know, it's a good player that you're hoping is going to be a part of your core for a long, long time. So, it's just being as thorough as possible. You know, you get some opportunities and things kind of thrown your way to consider, but you know, we have to try and take the short and long-term view of it.
And then last quick one here. So that you have been getting, I'm sure the phone's been ringing a little bit for number two, given a lot of talk around town here.
Yeah, we've had some some offers for it and some things to consider. I'm not out there shopping the pick. I think, like I said, I'm excited to add another really good player to our pool. But you know, when someone calls and presents you with something, you got to listen to it and consider it. So there's been a few of those scenarios so far, and we'll see what happens the rest of the week.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
Shang.
Hey, Mike. Do you expect to make that number two pick?
As of right now, yeah.
Wanted to also ask you about William Eklund and how extension talks are going with him.
I mean, right now, I think Ecky, we're just focused on him getting healthy. You know, we really lucked out with that injury. Could have been a lot worse for him. So, you know, he's got the cast off and he's starting to skate and train a little bit. So I think that's kind of the focus right now is his health and getting him ready for the season.
Rightly or wrongly, Michael Mesa, that's been the significant name attached to you guys in a number two pick. What can you tell us about Michael? Just having dinner with him and just any other impressions of him?
Really nice kid. Smart. I think he knows the game and knows what his strengths and weaknesses are. Really bright. The interview was great. Dinner was really went really well. Really enjoyed having getting to know the personal side of him. But I think he's a worker. He's a serious kid who's serious about hockey, serious about doing whatever he feels that he needs to do to play in the NHL and be successful in the NHL. So he's an impressive kid. You know, the season spoke for itself. Very talented, two-way game, dual threat, shooter, passer, scorer. Really good on the PK, plays both ends. And, you know, we obviously saw him a lot with Igor there. So, yeah, talented player and a nice person as well.
And kind of the same question about Anton Frondell. He's the other name that's sort of been attached. Again, rightly or wrongly, not asking you on that part of it, but just tell us about him as a player, as a person.
Yeah, we had a real good interview with him. Really, kind of an outgoing kid. I think he's detail oriented. You know, he was kind of has a personality that it's kind of excitable and like to talk hockey with us. Big kid, he's physical. Can really shoot the puck. Can play center and wing. You know, he's wants to play a 200-foot game. Yeah, just a really good player. He's, you know, last year in February when Higgins and Yzerman and those guys were in the tournament in February, I thought he was the best player as an underager. But then this year, people kind of knock him for his U18 performance. But you got to give the kid credit. He went on a long playoff run, won a championship, and literally that night was on a plane to come over and play with his team in Sweden because he wanted to see that through with his age group. So, another impressive kid, good hockey player. So, yeah, it was good to get to know him a little bit.
And I wanted to ask if you have any update on, I guess, some of your major UFAs or RFAs. Just going to rattle off a bunch of names for you right now. Jan Ruda, UFA, RFAs like Gushin and Gregor, Kostin, Kovalenko, Bortolo. Do you plan on qualifying those guys?
I got really nothing for you that for you on that yet. It's something you know our group's discussing, and it's you know it's not kind of right for me to talk about that without speaking with the player and his agent first.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Curtis.
Morning, Mike. Thank you for doing this here today. Is there still an internal debate on who you're taking at number two, or is that kind of your list kind of maybe settled there at this point?
We'll have guys are coming in today. Actually, we'll have more meetings tomorrow and Thursday, but I think we have a pretty good idea of the board right now, but we'll definitely have some more conversation in the coming days.
How crazy do you expect this week to be? Obviously, the draft, people are speculating teams are going to be moving around a little bit in the first round, and that's obviously followed by free agency. I mean, how crazy a few days do you expect this to be, not only maybe with your team, but around the league?
Yeah, I think it'll be busy. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it. You have some teams that are coming out of the rebuild. You got some teams that want to take the next step as far as playoffs wise, stuff like that. And you have a, you know, maybe a situation where, you know, it's not the strongest free agent class. So I think you kind of combine all these things with the cap going up, then, you know, wouldn't be surprised that there's a decent amount of movement in the next week or so.
You said before that maybe you're not going to be, you know, handing out long-term contracts or spending, you know, a major amount of money this off season. I mean, can you say you're not going to be in on some of these, you know, high profile free agents, guys like, you know, Mitch Marner and some of these other players that have been mentioned here recently? Is that fair to say, or do you guys maybe have some interest in the top end of the market here?
I mean, I would say like you mentioned, I've been pretty consistent with them. Not in any rush to, you know, hand out a, you know, a 7 or 8 year contract to someone in their late 20s or early 30s. So you guys can kind of take that for how you'd like to.
What do you kind of consider your roster needs to be as you look ahead to next season?
Oh, I mean, everything. You watch the games, right? So we got a lot of work to do here. We got a little bit of, you know, we're starting to lay the foundation, but, you know, we need to get better on the back end. One, we got to keep the pucks out of our net for sure. You know, that's probably priority one. We got to get a goalie to kind of support Askey here and push Askey. And then up front, you know, there's holes up front too. We got some good vets that played well, Winnie and Goody and Toaff. Those guys played well for us last year, and you know, Mac and Will played well. And then, you know, we'll have some internal competition with Graffer and Chernyshov and Musty and those types of guys. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of holes. We could use a lot of things. We could use some help up front and definitely use some help on the back end.
I'd like to ask a question maybe at the end after some other people are in the queue here, but you know, there's a lot of discussion right now after Florida wins another Stanley Cup about tax states and no tax states. You know, do you consider that to be an issue, and is there a hindrance to your team considering California's taxes and you guys being a rebuilding team? Are those things hindrances to you as you try to, you know, attract free agents here?
I don't think it's a hindrance. You know, is it an advantage for those teams? Probably a little bit, but you know, I think we have other things to offer here: quality of life, you know, weather, you know, things like that, and franchise with some history of winning. So every market's got its pluses and minuses. So you know, I'm not so hung up on the tax issue. I think Florida's a really good team, so players are going to want to play on really good teams. Tampa was a really good team. Players are going to want to play with other good players and go places that, you know, they have a chance to win. So if you got a good team, if you build a good team, you know, I think the tax stuff kind of works itself out and it isn't big of an issue.
All right. Thank you.
We'll go to Greg.
Hey, Mike. Two questions. One about your decor. I was looking at one of the salary cap sites and saw a lot of red next summer for you guys as far as expiring contracts. Is the decor something that you're looking at switching up this season, or do you think that might be easier to do when money comes off the cap in 2026?
I mean, I'd like to improve it this year. We'll probably have a little bit more, maybe a little bit more flexibility, and maybe see where some of the young guys' development path goes this year. So to answer, we have to be better on the back end this year. However we do that, whether that's trades or free agency, whatever it may be, we need to get better back then and back there, and hope, some Shakir and maybe even Sam, Henry Thrun, these guys kind of improve as they get older. So we need some internal improvement and growth, but we need to improve it this year. And then, if next year we have more flexibility, maybe dive into it a little more, we can do that for sure.
That was a ninja-like move with the motion lights, man. That was pretty
Oh,
solid.
sorry, I got the motion. Yeah, the lights keep
The
shutting off. I'm not moving enough.
other thing I want to ask you is obviously, like, everyone's talked about how thin the UFA market is for goalies. You mentioned wanting to add a veteran for Askey. Is do you think that's a more of a trade proposition, or do you think there's somebody on UFA that could serve that role as a veteran?
We're kind of looking at both avenues. I think there are a couple guys in the UFA market, that could probably help and help mentor him and help push him. I think, we all see Askey's upside and his potential, but it's not something where I just want to hand him the net. I want him to feel like he's pushed and challenged a little bit. And also have someone who he can get along with. So it's kind of finding that balance for us. But I think it's both avenues we got to be aware of, and there's a lot of teams looking for goalies, and there's not a lot of goalies out there, so it's not probably not going to be an easy thing to do, I guess.
And just one quick one, like from what you've your conversations with your colleagues, with the cap going up and then having the sort of cost certainty of the cap going up in subsequent seasons, do you see that as more of a situation where that's going to really help with transactions this summer? Or do you think it's going to maybe have the other effect where people are going to be able to spend to keep their guys more?
Yeah, I think it's almost the latter what you're saying. I think it's given teams the ability to try and keep their guys in-house, especially early on here. I think there's probably a little bit of fear of what's going to happen on the open market and what some of the costs are going to potentially be. So I think teams seeing that the cap's going up and having a little bit of your own money to spend internally or seems like they're using it to lock their own guys up instead of risk getting into bidding wars and things kind of get out of hand on the open market.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
We got a few minutes here left. We'll take a final round of questions, starting with Shang.
Mike, actually, on kind of Greg's question there, so far, free agency doesn't open until next week, but know you start to have conversations with agents and all that sort of thing. Is there any kind of with the cap rising next year and then the year after that, quite a lot? Have you been surprised by sort of some of the money figures thrown around, at you that you've heard? Any sticker shock there, or just what has been your reaction to that? What does that look like so far?
Well, we're not allowed to talk to agents here yet. So we got to wait till July 1 to do all that stuff. So we'll kind of have to see how it shakes out. I would imagine, with the cap going up, I would imagine agents are going to be, pushing to get as much money possible for their players. And, with the flat cap being here for so long, I'm sure their agents and players feel that they haven't maybe got compensated as much as they would have liked. So I imagine they're gonna push the envelope, and we're probably gonna see some contracts and things that are probably higher than maybe expected.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
We'll go Eric, JD, and then we'll finish up with Curtis.
Hey, Mike, thanks for doing this.
No problem.
You've covered a lot of ground here. So actually, I wanted to ask you something off on a different direction. Joe Thornton, if he does get the Hall call today, just what in your mind defines Jumbo, not only as your teammate for some time, but playing against him as well? And then also what he meant to you just in terms of someone off the ice.
Yeah, it's a big day. So, we're pulling for Jumbo and Patty here. So
True.
we'll see how that goes. But as far as Jumbo goes, it was an honor to play with him. He was the best probably the best passer of the puck I played with. Him and Dougie Waite, but he just anticipated plays so well. Saw plays happening a step before they did and found lanes and threw layers where you never really thought he was going to be able to get you the puck. And next thing you know, puck hits your stick and you got an empty net all of a sudden. So it was great playing with him. He loves the game. I think he was underrated, very tough and kind of mean. Not an easy guy to play against. He would fight, he would stick up for himself, he would stick up for his teammates. Just kind of a unique player who, kind of at that size and that reach could, make the plays he could, but and make everyone around him better. But then, like I said, at the same time, kind of be a little bit mean. So, it was, like I said, it was a pleasure and to play with him and to play against him and to see the passion he has. And he still has the passion. He loves being at the rink. He's at the rink almost every day here, talking with the guys and working out and just being on the ice and giving little pointers here and there. He just loves the game and it's infectious. And when you're around him, he just brings kind of joy to everyone in the.
And apologies, no slight on Patty at all. If you have a thought on him, I'll take that as well.
What, sorry, what's up?
No, I said apologies, no slight on Patty. If you have a thought on him as well, I'll take that as well.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that was Jumbo. Very generous too. I'd always want to add with him. He's one of the most generous teammates I ever had about taking care of young players and buying them suits, taking them out to dinner, getting them whatever they needed. And you saw that again with having Mac at his house with his family this year. So pulling for him and Patty, like I said, Patty was like the consummate pro, funny, quietly funny, really driven, professional. I don't think people realize how big he is, and to skate the way he did at that size and was willing to sacrifice and play the wing, when he needed to. And always seemed to score when we needed a goal. So great guy, great teammate. So very pulling for him as well. And he had a his longevity and everything he accomplished is very impressive. So two guys that I feel very fortunate to have played with and as in an organization and our young players to have them still being willing to sacrifice their time and help our group out with on the development side and even have those two kids live with them this past year. Very, very grateful that they're with the Sharks organization.
JD.
Following up on Thornton, have you given him his director of vibes title yet officially, or is he still won't sign the contract?
Yeah, he's hopefully, hopefully he'll sign the contract and help out. He's already basically been doing, player development for basically for the love of the game. And now we'll hopefully sometime this summer we can get him on board officially as a development coach slash director of vibes.
Good. Print the shirts. You mentioned like the free agency class, not the strongest, right? You guys have, of course, the most cap space heading into the off season here. Is there thoughts of maybe bringing on like an IR type of contract to help you guys reach the floor? Or are you going to try to the focus this year is to really try to improve the roster?
I would say the focus is more to try and improve the roster. But there's 31 other teams and GMs out there that have all big ideas this time of year, like ourselves, and things they want to do and things they hope they can accomplish. But you never know. So you might get to August, and maybe you need to take a contract on and get a sweetener to take that on and get a pick or a prospect or something to help build this thing. But for sure the plan is to try and push it forward and be a better team and improve the roster for this season.
Dickinson had himself a pretty nice run in the Memorial Cup and in the playoffs here. Is he going to get every opportunity, you think, to try to crack the opening night roster?
Yeah, I mean, Sam has, you know, had a dominant year, was great in the playoffs. I don't know how much more he has left to prove at the junior level. It's been 3 years there of good hockey, and the last 2 years of he's been really, really good. So, yeah, I mean, it's up to him, as it is with all these other young players. Same with, you know, Chernyshov and Musty and Graf and, you know, the guys like this. It's up to them to put the work in this summer, prepare, train, come in bigger, stronger, faster, and kind of force our hand. But, you know, we'll give them every opportunity, but we're not just going to hand it to him. He's got to earn it. He's got to earn his ice time up here and earn his roster spot if that's what happens.
And then finally, pick 30. I know you've talked about potentially trading that pick, or is it still potentially in play? Or are you kind of more focusing on players who could be there at 30 or 33, or maybe even combining those to move up to get a guy who might be falling?
Yeah, I think everything's on the table. You know, I think you kind of mentioned the three outcomes there. I mean, we're definitely open to moving it, but we also know looking at our board that there's going to be you know, a good player there available to help us. Then, you know, to see how the draft goes, you never know. The drafts never go how you expect. So, you know, to use that with, you know, another piece to maybe move up into the first round, if there's a player that we really like that starts to slide, you know, that's definitely a possibility as well.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thank you.
We'll wrap here with Curtis.
Thanks, Mike, again, for doing this. Do you from what you know, I mean, do you think whoever you selected number two could be ready to play in the NHL this upcoming season?
They could be. I don't really want to put that type of pressure on any kid just to say yes or no, really, or discourage them if I say no. You know, I think they'll probably have an opportunity, see how training camp goes. But as we all know, it's a big jump to go as an 18-year-old to play in the NHL right away. You know, these are all good players, talented kids that we'll see how camp goes. But, you know, what Macklin did is the exception to what most normal 18-year-olds do. So, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm not, you know, it's not a yes or no for me. They're talented kids and, you know, not too different than Sam. We'll let their play dictate to where they end up.
I know you were asked about Eklund a little bit earlier. Just is your preference to get something done maybe this offseason with him?
I mean, I don't know if it's a preference or I'm open to it, I guess I'll say. You know, he's played well for us. You know, he's got a lot of the attributes we like. He plays hard. He shows up every night and gives his best. So it's something that I'm open to. It's not a... you know, I don't know if I would say it's a priority, but, you know, we're open to having those discussions and seeing where it takes us the rest of the summer and maybe into the fall.
And with Joe Thornton again, I mean, what do you think he meant or means to the city of San Jose? Not just the hockey part, but just having maybe a true superstar in the city, you know, the recognizable figure. I mean, what do you think he meant to the city?
I think he meant the world to it. I mean, he changed the franchise here. Him coming here changed everything. And brought a little, I think, belief into the fan base that, you know, we're going to have a chance to win every single year. And then his personality, I think when you see him, he loves kids, loves people. You know, he's probably the most recognizable figure in San Jose still to this day. So just as, you know, his outgoing demeanor and personality and his love of life and love of hockey, I think, you know, kind of transformed this city a little bit and transformed the franchise for sure.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Live coverage of the NHL draft starts Friday at 4 o'clock right here on the Sharks Audio Network, live from the draft party at SAP Center. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.